Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
You know, I've always been a person that never particularly cared about series messages. Because first of all, if you happen to miss a Sunday, you've missed part of the series, you know. And I don't care if you listen to it on CD or whatever later. Somehow, sometimes it's just not quite the same as being there. But for some reason, it seems like for the last 4 weeks now, a lot of these, well, the last 3 weeks anyway, were all tied together, and I didn't start out for it to be that way. And now this Sunday, we go back into some events that took place just before the crucifixion of Jesus, as God began to lay this message upon my heart. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 18. We're going to read verses 37 and 38. Again, that's John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38. And it says, Pilate then said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. For this cause am I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said that, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find no cause in him. And the question today is, what is truth? We ever stop to think about that? What is truth? I looked up the definition of the word truth, and first of all, I looked it up in the Bible, in the Strong's, and the Greek word used is aletheia, which is used 110 times, and out of that 110 times, that Greek word is translated truth. It can also be translated one time truly, one time true, and one time verity, V-E-R-I-T-Y. So I said, okay, now what's the word verity? Well, I did a quick search and found that word twice in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, which would have been a Hebrew word used, but I was wanting to deal with what the Greek word was. And so I found it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, where Timothy says, Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And of course, that word again could be translated in faith and truth. And in fact, in the New Holloman Christian Standard Bible, that's how it is translated, as in faith and truth. So we're talking about truth today. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines truth as the real facts about something, the things that are true. It's the quality or state of being true, a statement or idea that is true or accepted as true. But I like that first part, the real facts about something. But it seems to me like we're kind of living in a world today where we really don't want truth. You know, I've heard people say sometimes, don't tell me the truth, just tell me a really good lie. You know, because they don't want to always know the truth. And probably in all of our lives sometimes, there's sometimes we really wouldn't particularly care to know the truth about something, you know, because it might bring us discomfort or whatever. And it seems to be something that we're afraid of, not only as non-Christians, but many Christians as well are afraid of truth. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, And shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Shall make you free is actually what it says there. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We will be free if we know the truth. The problem is, are we getting the truth? Are we getting the real facts? And I know a lot of people get their facts off of television, and they get them off of the internet, or they get them from whatever sources. But sometimes, I got news for you, not everything that's printed in a book is true. And lo and behold, I know this is a shocker to some people. If it's on the internet, it may still not be true. And I know there are some people say, oh, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. there's more lies floating around on the internet than you can shake a stick at. I don't even trust some of the news sources that put stuff on there anymore. You know, and I know some of them do it as kind of a satire of something, making fun of it. But still, there's a lot of non-truth. In fact, sometimes I think there's more fiction than truth floating around. But people really, it seems like, don't want to know the truth. We want to live in some sort of a fantasy land. Anybody here remember that program used to be on television years ago called Fantasy Island?
Yeah.
I think they're showing reruns of it again. And, you know, they'd go to this place, pay a lot of money to Mr. Rourke, and he'd create their perfect fantasy for them. But if you remember some of the shows, their fantasies didn't pan out the way they expected them to be. And sometimes we try to live in a fantasy world, but we need to live in the real world. We need to live in the world of truth. Why are we afraid of truth? Well, there's an old saying, the truth hurts. And yes, sometimes the truth does hurt. When we find out the truth about something, sometimes when we find out the truth about ourselves, sometimes it hurts. And people don't always like to hear the truth. As I said before, they would rather have a really good lie. Sometimes in the business world, that goes on a lot anymore. You know, fictionalize this. They don't say it that way. But let's just make this come out where it sounds really good, you know. And you'll be told to do something maybe on your job sometime. You've got to pad the numbers or whatever to make it look like it's going to impress people. When the truth is your company's going through the bottom and you've got a graph showing it going through the top, you know. Because truth was not being told. So we fictionalize stuff, a lot of things, because we don't want to know the truth. The truth will bring conviction at times. Sometimes when you hear the truth about the things of God and you are not living for God, it will bring a conviction in your spirit. You'll feel something grip you. Feels like maybe somebody's got hold of you and squeezing your chest real tight because the Spirit of God is convicting you of what's going on in your life. And you are hearing that truth and you don't like it because it's making you uncomfortable. Some people don't want to go to church because they might hear the truth and it might make them feel bad. You know, a lot of people have the idea anymore, if you go to church, everybody's supposed to leave smiling and happy. Whoop-de-doo. Sometimes we should be leaving with tears in our eyes and sorrowful because the truth was preached and it convicted us of something that was going on in our life. Maybe we hadn't committed a sin yet, but we were considering doing something that wasn't right and we got under conviction as we walked out the door and we felt bad about it and then didn't go out and do it because the truth will set us free. The truth will bring deliverance to us. And of course, nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings anymore. You know, it's like with kids sometimes today and certain things that they do. You know, back when I went to school, you had winners and you had losers. You played a game. There was a winner and there was a loser. This, that, and the other, you know. And now everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a prize. It's not about this or that. It's about making everybody happy. Let's face it, in real life, there are winners and there are losers. Amen. In real life, there are things that go right and things that go wrong. In real life, there are good people and there are bad people. But we don't want to look at that picture anymore. We want those rose-colored glasses that where we see everything in the same shade. I really kind of think maybe those rose-colored glasses are gray because we want to see everything as a gray area, you know. Well, there's really no right or no wrong, you know, as we look at it. We want to see it just in that one thing. So we have resorted to what they call political correctness, which makes everything hunky-dory. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. Everything's going to be all right. Well, for us as Christians, yeah, everything's going to be all right. But right now, we have to face truth about some things. We have to face obstacles in our life. We have to face things that come against us sometimes that are unpleasant. But when things that come against us are unpleasant, we have still got to stand for truth. Amen. And what God says about something. And let's face it, what God said and what the Bible says, guess what? It's not politically correct. I was hearing somewhere the other day that there's a group that wants us to rewrite the Bible to make it more politically correct. That would be, guess what, an abomination unto God, in my opinion. You know? But we got to be politically correct. We are afraid sometimes, even in some churches, we're afraid to speak the truth about sin. Brothers and sisters, you're all okay. Yeah. God loves you. He's not going to let you go to hell. You just go on out there and do whatever you want to do, and you're going to be okay. Just come to church, pay your tithes. Now make sure you pay your tithes, and we'll be okay. But we want to sugarcoat it sometimes, make it sound good, whatever it is, so that especially if the offending party is a friend or a relative. Haven't you noticed how that some people, well, so-and-so went out and did that, and it was terrible. They shouldn't have done that. And I've heard them condemn them to hell over it, you know. They're going to split that place wide open. A member of your family or one of your friends does say, oh, it's going to be all right. They really didn't mean it. We do that. Especially if it's your kids a lot of times. You know, I've seen people turn around and defend their kids when they knew that what they did was a dirty, rotten deed. But they still defend them. My kids have done a few things over the past. And I'll tell you, they didn't find out that I was saying, well, it was okay because they did it. Because I told them it was wrong. What they were doing was wrong. So we want to sugarcoat the things. Well, what we're trying to do really is sugarcoat sin. I'm the firm believer that sin is sin. The Bible says it's sin. I have no room to argue about it. It's sin. Now, there are some things that the Bible does not say are sin that we might could debate. But if the Bible says, plain and out, it's sin, there is, in my mind, no room for discussion. It is sin. God said it, and that confirms it. That's the way it is. Romans chapter 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know some people want to think that, well, I'm a good person. And maybe you are. I've met some people that were really good people. Nice people. But they were convinced strictly because they were a good person that they were okay with God. Back years ago when I was a few years younger, when I went to look for a job, I used an employment agency that I went to. And I went to use the same agency over a number of years. So I became somewhat acquainted with the owner of the agency, and we'd sit and talk sometimes. And he was a good man, did a lot of good things. Went down on Skid Row in Los Angeles and helped feed the hungry, things like that. And he didn't go around getting into trouble. But he was convinced because he did that, that's all he needed to do. And there was no convincing him otherwise. Because he was a good person. But the truth is, good people still end up going to hell because they do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Simple as that. That's the truth. Some people don't like to hear it. And I know that the politically correct thing today seems to be, well, we're all going to go to heaven anyway. And that's not what the Word of God says. That's not truth. Because right there, I just read the verse, all have sinned. We've all come short. Every last one of us has come short. In Colossians 1 and 14 says, in whom we have redemption through the blood, that is forgiveness of sin. We have forgiveness of sin only one way. Now, I know there's a religious group out there right now that thinks cutting off people's heads is going to get them into heaven and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what the Word of God has to say. That's not what the Word of God who created this universe has to say. He says the only way you're going to get there is get forgiveness of sin, and the only way to get forgiveness of sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And what He did on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection from the dead that we celebrated last week, that's what gets us to heaven. That is truth.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, I know that probably there would be some people out there that want to argue that point. But in my mind, there's no debate. It's what God said is the truth. I accept it. I believe it. There is only one way. You're not going to get there another way. Now, there may be some rosy paths that you can look at and that look right, because the Bible plainly tells us there's a lot of paths out there. You know, really, there's only two. There's the path to hell and there's the path to heaven. And the path to heaven, it says, is narrow, and the path to hell is wide. But there's a lot of people trying to make a lot of other paths out there, but there's only one path that goes to heaven. And that's the one that leads through His blood, His death, burial, and resurrection. That's the only path, the only way. And that's truth. But some people don't want to accept truth. You know, it's, I think, a sad thing when we get to the point within Christianity as a whole that we've got churches, we've got pastors that no longer really believe the truth. I was reading just a couple of weeks ago of a pastor, I forget which denomination it was, but he plainly said, I don't believe in God. But that doesn't stop me from being a Christian. Well, I guess if you want to get some real technicalities in there, you know, anybody can say they're a Christian. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are counted in that group of Christians across the world that it's in name only. And being a Christian in name only doesn't get you to heaven. He shouldn't be worried about it anyway, because if he doesn't believe in God, he's not going to heaven anyhow. But he thinks he's okay. And we have groups out there that are supposedly Christian that they don't believe what the Bible has to say. And, you know, we could take a lot of it out and throw most of it away, and the time they got through with it, it'd be probably about a 25-page book. Maybe a little bit longer than that, because they'd probably leave some of the good stories in there about, you know, maybe Daniel in the lion's den or something, Noah in the ark, whatever. Some of them might have it Jonah in the ark. You know, but they don't want the truth. They don't care about the truth. It's what makes you feel good. But look in the Word of God and find where does it say that the path to heaven is going to necessarily make you feel good. In fact, actually, if you read, you find out Some of those folks that are mentioned there felt pretty bad at times, I'm quite sure, especially if they were getting beaten. They were getting thrown in prison. They were having some of these things, getting shipwrecked. I don't think that's a good feeling. There were times that they went through some terrible things in their life, but down in their heart they knew the truth and they knew that they were on their way to heaven and they could still have joy and they could still have peace because they were heaven bound. It didn't matter what the circumstances were around them because God was in their heart. Had Jesus in their heart. And they knew they were saved and they knew the truth. But we don't want the truth. We'd rather be politically correct. We'd rather want to preach things that will make you feel good. And quite honestly, if you feel good, you might put more in the offering. And it's a sad situation when some churches got down to it. It's all about money. Some pastors today have to drive Bentleys. That's to show that God has blessed them. I have driven probably one of the worst cars ever built, called a Ford Falcon. But you know what? Even when I was driving that thing and it was causing me all kinds of, I still knew that God had blessed me. I disliked that car with a passion. But I still knew that I was blessed of God. Because it still got me here and there most of the time. But God blessed me. It is not what you drive. It's not what you live in. It's not all of these material things of the world. It doesn't matter about that stuff. It's what you've got in your heart that blesses you. And some of these other things are just overflow, you know. And we can be blessed. I will guarantee you that there's Christians living in some remote corner of the world that don't have any of the things that we take for granted. And they're in church today. And they're worshiping God and they're praising God with all their hearts and probably doing more so than we do as far as that goes. And they're happy and they're blessed and they know it. And if we look at them, they have got nothing. Nothing. They're lucky if they can go home to some fresh water and a bowl of beans or something. But they are blessed, and they will tell you, I'm blessed. But they're living in the truth. And I know the world's going to look at, oh, they're not blessed. Man, look at the circumstances they're living in. The circumstances you're in doesn't mean anything when it comes to the truth of God. God's blessings are what it's all about. Living for God is what it's all about. That's what truth is all about, is living for God, having Him in your heart and in your life. Amen. Then we are blessed. If you walk out of here today and some disaster strikes, and believe me, it's getting closer and closer that something like this could happen. As you walk out that door and something happens, and all of us have lost almost everything, we are still blessed.
Amen.
Because even though the enemy takes our life, we're blessed. He just got us to heaven a little bit quicker. You know? We're blessed. But as a whole, the world doesn't see that as truth. In fact, some people probably look at you, oh, that poor Christian person, that stupid Christian person. They believe in God and look at all this mess they're into, you know. Well, that's okay. You can have your mansion, you can have your Rolls Royce, you can have your money in the bank. But there's a day coming when it's going to belong to somebody else. But what I've got and I'm laying up in heaven is mine for eternity. It's what God has promised me for an eternity. And nobody can take it away from me. Everything you've got down here, somebody could take away from you. You say, well, that isn't legal. It doesn't matter about legal anymore. We're living in a world where legality doesn't matter. It's what people want. And if somebody with enough influence wants it, they'll get it. But what God has given us, they can't take away. Because we are blessed. And we are blessed of God, and that is truth. God blesses His children, and they are blessed for eternity. And we get to spend eternity with Him. Thank God for that. We get to spend eternity with Him. That's a blessing just to think about right now. It makes you want to get up and do the little happy dance because we're going to spend eternity with God. We're blessed. And I know that somebody would look at me and say, that poor, misguided, out of their mind lunatic. You can go ahead and say whatever you want. I've had people call me names. That's okay. I got Jesus in my heart. And I know the truth. The truth has set me free. I know I'm on my way to heaven. And it's just a matter of time that the abundance of God's blessings are going to be in my life because I know the truth. Father, I thank You for truth today. I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for all that You've done for us. And Father, even though when times are tough and it seems like people turn against us, and no matter what comes into our life, the things that we experience on a day-to-day basis, we can have Your truth of Your Word in our heart, and that truth sets us free. I am so thankful for Your blessings and for Your deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's anyone listening to me today by the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father God, that they will see the truth today and they will be set free and they will ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and life. Ask Him in and be a child of God and have this truth that we have in our hearts. I thank You for it, Father, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.